Would you bow your heads for the prayer of illumination? Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture this morning is the second letter of John, verses 1 through 13. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Let us love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments, just as you have heard it from the beginning. You must walk in it. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Be on your guard so that you do not lose what we have worked for many receive a full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Do not receive into your home or welcome anyone who comes to you and does not bring this teaching. For to welcome is to participate in the evil deeds of such a person. Although I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you their greetings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This sermon is the second one in a series of sermons on faith and technology, a series that I'll be preaching through the summer. And one thing that we learned about faith and technology, all of us, over the pandemic, is that there are meaningful ways that we can live out our faith, ways we can worship together, sing together, pray together, do mission together, share life together, even if we can't see one another face to face. Back in May of 2020, we couldn't sit in a sanctuary like this and hear Toby read scripture to us face to face like we can now. But we could still have members of our church read scripture to us. Back then, Pastor Alley asked the Stetson family to do a reading of Mark 1, verses 35 through 41 for our online worship service. That passage is the story of Jesus calming the storm. So Chess, Jennifer, Bruce, Hugh, and Lee grabbed some Legos and a mandolin and offered this for our worship one pandemic morning.
Do you still doubt?
Oh.
church has explored how they could read Scripture, proclaim the Word, and sing God's praises remotely. That video was one of many moments I loved in this congregation's adventures in remote worship. So back in 2020, December, we couldn't gather in this sanctuary to sing Christmas carols, nor could we go as we often would to Monta Vista Grove homes to sing, particularly for those at the health center. But we still had James Lent, our pianist and organist, so we could host the live stream Christmas event that this was.
Thank you, June, for Let It Snow. Next request is from Mimi James. Here is O Holy Bethlehem.
Exactly where I was when I was listening to that live stream. I was with Jill and Lucy. We were in our car because this was the time of home quarantine where you couldn't connect with people in person or face-to-face outside your immediate household. We were driving up Christmas Tree Lane, looking at all the lights, and Lucy was in the back texting requests to James for this live stream. And I thought, you know, even in days of home quarantine, the worst of the pandemic, there was Christmas. We could celebrate Christmas. If you go back to our video archives, and you can find these on the Knox website, you'll see that that's one of our most popular videos. It's gotten nearly 3,000 views. Right now, people are joining us for worship through live streaming technology, some of whom are homebound. So if you're joining us on the live stream, please introduce yourself in the chat, which Jim has re-enabled, so you can click the chat, let us know you're here, and so grateful that you have chosen to join us for worship as you are able. The pandemic taught us there are powerful ways believers can connect through technology. And while that was a revelation for some, like me, the notion that Christians could connect remotely is not a new idea. It goes back to our scriptures. So much of the New Testament consists of people connecting through a powerful technology of that time called letter writing. We see it in today's short letter that Toby read. The author of 2 John describes himself as ho presbyteros in Greek, which means the elder. We think that's a reference to him actually being an older person, but given the authority he shows in this letter, he may have had a position of some authority in the church. The letter is written to, quote, the elect lady and her children. The elect lady and her children. We think that's a reference to the church, to a congregation that he is writing to and their members. You remember elsewhere in Scripture, the church is called the bride of Christ. And so we think this reference to the elect lady and her children is to a particular church. And it is impressive what he is able to communicate through technology. He shares love by letter. The elder addresses this letter to, quote, she whom I love, she whom I love. If you've ever received a letter with those words, he whom I love, she whom I love, you whom I love, you know, love can be passed on in words. It can be passed on remotely. Affirmation and encouragement can be sent remotely. We see that in the elder's words. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth. Haven't you gotten an encouraging word by text, by email, or by letter that was God's way of speaking to you, of offering you encouragement, support in a really tough time? Just this last Saturday, I got a package from Stephen Finkel, who's now living in Austin. Stephen was an active part of this church some years ago, and he was a volunteer leader with our youth program. He's now an associate pastor in Austin, Texas, but he was returning in this package a book I'd loaned him called Gilead. And along with that book, he included a letter. And the letter had so many kind words for you all, for this congregation, for me. It was touching in one of many ways love can be sent remotely. In the letter of 2 John, the elder passes on challenge and admonition too. He calls the church to love one another, obey Christ's commandments. He even speaks out against false teaching and tries to articulate how dangerous false teaching is. And he does all this remotely through technology. But what about baptism? What about baptism? Can you do that remotely? Can you? It's a question that gets at the heart of our faith and its physicality. Could the elder in this letter have said by letter, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? And could the recipients of this letter thrown water on themselves and said, yay, we are baptized? Churches around the world ask this question during the pandemic. Can you baptize when safety restrictions require social distancing and avoiding physical touch with those outside your immediate household? Well, a church in Texas allegedly staged this experiment in baptism. You ready? Because I don't want to move on until you are here. There was a caption, and you'll find this if you look it up, a meme on one of these that has the words, not today, Satan. This is funny, of course, but in truth, it doesn't quite do the sacrament justice, does it? A water pistol shot at a distance. Well, your session, that is the elders who govern this church, had to wrestle with the question back in 2020, can you baptize remotely? We wrestled with that. And one of the great phrases that helped churches like ours answer that question, can you baptize remotely, is right in today's passage, in the flesh, in the flesh. The elder writes, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. From this letter of 2 John and other sections of Scripture, it's clear that a core conviction of the early church was that Jesus Christ had not just come, but he had come in the flesh. What was that confession arguing against? What was the false teaching or heresy? What was the deceptive teaching to which that statement, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, was an answer? We think the deceptive teaching was some form of docetism. Docetism comes from the Greek word dokein, meaning to seem. Docetism argued that Christ only seemed to suffer and only seemed to be flesh-bearing. In fact, Docetism argued Christ was spiritual, not flesh and blood. This kind of dualism, arguing the spiritual is good, the material is bad, the spiritual is of God, the material cannot be of God since it's impure. This bifurcation of reality is blown apart by the incarnation as Scripture proclaims it. In John's Gospel, we read, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. Later in that Gospel, Jesus says, the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Christ came to our material reality, our physicality, our flesh, to heal and to redeem. He died and rose for us in the flesh. He gave his flesh for us in love and in protest of all that was wrong in the world. He modeled in the flesh what a life of obedience to God was like. The fleshness, the embodied quality to God's love in Christ, that's what we see 2 John so vehemently defending. And as a session hearing in the flesh proclaimed so powerfully in Scripture, remote baptism, it just didn't seem to do the sacrament justice. To truly be a sign and seal of Christ touching a person, calling them Christ's own, welcoming them into the life of dying and rising with Christ, don't you need the flesh and blood hand of a pastor pouring water, real water, over the flesh and blood head of a young disciple, a new member of the family of faith. Can you do that by letter or by text or email or video conferencing? We didn't think so. So we waited. And on days like this, finally, praise God, we can celebrate baptism in the flesh. Baptism, it seems to point to the fullness of what we're promised in faith, and that's more than remote connection. Baptism points to the full embodied communion we're promised with God and with one another and ultimately with all the earth. The elder in today's passage writes of yearning for that day when he will not use paper and ink, but come to this congregation and see the members face to face. Then, the elder writes, then our joy will be complete. Sometimes you have to settle for technology and remote connection. It's the best you can do, and you can do a lot with it. But let's not confuse it with being there, in the flesh. After all, we believe Christ came in the flesh. And by the way, there is one way that we found we could still hold a baptism in the flesh, even in days when safety restrictions limited any interaction beyond one's immediate family. We realized we had something not every congregation does. I tend to tell people, if you throw stones in this congregation, if you threw three, one would hit a person with a doctorate, one would hit a pastor, a third would hit someone who's both got a doctorate and is a pastor. We had a pastor who was the grandmother of one of the children we wanted to baptize. We had Reverend Karen Burns, and we wanted to baptize Elizabeth Burns. And so, with me over in my office to preach, with Carrie Hoffman, who was the elder representing session from her home, with the Burns family and them alone here in the sanctuary, December of 2020, we were able to conduct a baptism, and this is what it looked like over Zoom. As we celebrate the sacrament this morning, let's remember with joy our own baptism.
Laura and Jason Burns are presenting their daughter, Elizabeth Dawn, for baptism this morning.
Elizabeth Dawn, child of God's covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray.
If you're asked, why is your church sending a team, a mission team, all the way to Kenya? Can't you send love remotely? Sure you can. We do it a lot, sending emails, letters, correspondence, connection, building relationships with the Amani School, the staff, the children over in Kenya. But isn't there something about being there face to face, getting to visit with people, being known, knowing others in the flesh? There's a special kind of love you can show in the flesh. And it points to our great hope as believers that one day we will know fullness of joy, rich communion with God, with one another, and restored and redeemed creation. God's love in Christ came to us in the flesh. Let's pass it on, not just through technological tools, though let's use them. Let's also pass it on in the flesh, and let's baptize in Christ's name in the flesh. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.